But I want to speak to you tonight, and I have been very conscious of what the devil is trying to do to homes and to young people. Did you know the chief tool of the devil always has been a home? That's where he scored his first victory in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. That's where he scored his first victory. He always has. And I think we have today elements that you and I didn't have to face when we were children, if you were my age or about that. And we're faced with different things. And this is why it's necessary that we put some things in this handbook that you and I didn't have in the handbook when we were going to school. One of the reasons, some of them were not even in existence. And there was not the problems in those days that we're having now. Now, I want you, if you will, if you have your Bibles tonight, and by the way, this is all being taped, and if you'd like to have a tape of it after it's over, they'll be available. And I'm going to start read to you several verses. I want to speak to you briefly about the mind. And in the Gospel of Luke, the Lord Jesus Christ is speaking to us and telling us something to help us to get started tonight. In the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 8, and verse number 35. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 8, verse number 35. And, Lord, let's see, I'm getting my place. Do you remember the story of how the Lord Jesus Christ went over the lake of Gennesaret, and there was a man possessed of a demon, and met the Lord, and the Lord cast the demon out? And I want you to listen now just to the verse number 35 in the 8th chapter of Luke. And then they that went out to see what was done, and came to Jesus, and found the man out of whom the devil was departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Now, folk, there's an important issue right there. And in his right mind. Will you listen to me as I tell you something? I've been saved now over 30 years. I've pastored this church for 26. I've been responsible for this school for over 19. I never had an experience quite like I had this past week. I've never. But I'm going to relate it to you very briefly. That's not my subject tonight, but I want to relate it to you so I can make a point or two from it. Sunday night, a week ago, not this Sunday night, but last Sunday night, our radio broadcasts are on, I think, 14 stations, and they're delayed. Some of them are played like 9:30 to 10:30, 10 to 11, 10:30, 11:30, like that, all over. There was a program, one of our programs, down in Savannah, Georgia. I had gone home after preaching. I was tired. I was watching Dr. Jack Van Impe, on television. I had on my pajamas, and I was sitting there, and the phone rang. My wife answered it, and she said, "Just a minute," and she handed the phone to me, and she said, "There's a young girl on the phone." And I picked it up, and a voice came from the other side. And she said, "I wanted to talk to you. I just heard you on the radio and heard you talking about young people being in drugs and witchcraft." And she said, "I just left a meeting of witchcraft." And she said, "I turned my radio on," and she said, "I heard you talking." And she said, "I tried to turn my radio off, but the knob hung." And she said, she's 20 years old, and this is teen language now. She said, I must have freaked out because I nearly had a wreck. And I got to the nearest phone and phoned you." She said, "I really don't even know why I'm calling you." I said, "I think I know why you're calling me, because you need help." And she said, "Well, I really don't know why I'm calling you." She said it the second time. And I said, "Do you know the Lord Jesus Christ as your own personal Savior?" And folk, there was a voice came over that line and a scream that, honestly, I don't scare easily, but chills went over my entire body. I had dealt before with demons, and I never dealt with any over the phone. Now, when I had said, I knew two things they were afraid of, the only two things of which you could command them, that's the name of Jesus Christ. For the Lord said, "Wherefore thou hast highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at his name every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess him as Lord to the glory of the Father." I knew they were afraid of the blood because the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is that which protects us. It saves us and it protects us. I knew that. I wasn't prepared. I hadn't prepared anything. But I knew those two things. I talked to her for a minute more. I motioned to my wife to pick up the extension, and she did. I talked to her for a minute more, and she told me some things about witchcraft. And then I wanted to be sure. I thought, now I'll come back in again unexpectedly and see if I get the same response. I did. I said, do you believe that the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, was shed on Calvary's cross? Folk, no voice, no human voice can describe it. None. I've never heard such piercing cry. And then a voice began to talk to me and told me their name, told me what they did, and things that I won't describe here for obvious reasons. My wife literally ran out of the house. And if I'd have done what I wanted to do, that's what I'd have done. But I knew that I was protected in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And I said, I'd like to help you. And she said, I'm in Savannah, Georgia. I said, will you call me in the morning? And she said, yes, I will. And I said, now write down my phone number. And she said, wait just a minute. And the voice came on again. I realize there's children here, so I'm not going to try to describe the horrible things. I'm not going to describe the sound of it. It's impossible. I obviously wasn't taped it. I'd never taped a telephone conversation in my entire life prior to that. Never. I'd never. Well, she came back on. She took the phone number. My home phone number is 596-8502. And I gave it to her. I said, now, will you read it back to me? Now, let's see if I could say it right. 6952058. Exactly backwards. And the demon came in again and said, Gillian will not call you. She will not call you. And I'm trying to keep anything out of my voice. I gave it to her again and asked her to repeat it to me. And she said, I'll call you tomorrow. I got here in plenty of time Monday. We don't have that kind of thing here. And finally found a little homemade rig and fixed it up. I was going to tape her conversation. She called before we got it hooked up. And I talked to her. And she said, I really don't know why I'm calling you. And then she related a story that is just almost impossible to believe. It would have been if that had been the end of it. She told me she's 20 years old. She started when she was 4 years old because her mother and father both, you know, a male witch is a warlock. He this year, that is her father, has trained over 2,000 people to be witches. Over 2,000 this year. She was born in Germany. She's a German Jew. I believe her IQ would probably be at least 120. Believe at least that. So I made arrangements. She said, if you'd send me a bus ticket, I'll come up there. I said, I'll come get you. She said, no, 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 no. I understand now why she said that. To make a long story short, she called back then. And we had a little homemade rig with a lot of ho-hum on it. And Brother Mark Logan, I introduced her to Brother Mark Logan because he's a youth director, and we taped it. I again wished you could hear it. She's here right now. She came up. On Friday afternoon, I experienced something in my entire ministry I've never experienced before. If the Lord wants to never let me experience it again, that's perfectly all right with me. I can say this, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, is sufficient for every need. I know that. We went to the bus station. I've got, I don't know, that's a Seiko watch. It's quartz, battery operated. I guess my wife paid $200 for it, I don't know. She gave it to me. I've said openly, it's the first watch I've ever had in my entire life that never lost a second. She said, I'll come in on Friday. And I think I need to tell you this to give you a little more of the credibility of it. I was scheduled to speak in Durham on Thursday night. My son Mark was going to drive me. We were going to do a turnaround. Just go up there, preach, turn around, come back. Get home about 2 o'clock in the morning. Do that a lot of time. The only thing, I woke up Thursday morning and I had a virus. I mean, boy, I was, the old saying, I was sick as a dog. I don't know if dog gets sicker than human, but I was sick. I said, I'll wait. I prayed. I begged God. I said, Lord, you know I don't miss meetings. I can't. There are the advertising out. Other churches are coming in, things of that sort. And finally, I waited until 12 o'clock, and at 12 o'clock, I knew then I wouldn't be able to go. So I called and told him I couldn't. He was very gracious and understanding. At 3:30, the phone rang, and it was Gillian. She said, I'm in Columbia. I'll be there at, I believe she said, at 8:15. I remember now, 8:15. I understood then why the Lord let me get sick, because I was feeling better. I wouldn't, of course, go to the bus station alone. Brother Mark Logan had been working with, because again, 20 years old, I thought eventually she'll be in the youth department. I thought it'd be good for him to get to know it. And of course, I got my wife to go. I don't go. We went down there. She described herself, and we picked her up. I was sitting outside, and I looked at that Seiko that had never lost a minute. And when I went inside, it had quit running for 10 minutes. You say, well, brother, that's nothing. It's all right. Okay. Friday, I dealt with her here in the office. Now, this is all on tape. And in addition, I don't know that there's another one in existence in the United States of America. My son, you know, is in charge of visual aids. And he set a video camera up in there with a 6-hour tape. And before she came in, I turned it on. I saw, and I, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, cast out 4 separate demons. Cries so horrible and so pitiful that one of her secretaries left the building, left. The others and the men of the place were on their knees pleading the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never experienced anything like it in my entire life. After it was over, she, and so was I, was so completely exhausted that it was nearly unbelievable. I went home after that. Now, I came back that night because a medical doctor, without me knowing it, signed off of his place and went home to pray and stay by the phone in case I was physically injured or there was some physical injury to her, because this happens many times, you know. Just sat by the phone ready to minister medical aid. He said, I need to see that, to see, to describe it to my own self. I came back over here that night. I picked up this Seiko that's never lost a minute. It had stopped at 120. That's exactly when I was sitting there casting the demons out. I don't even know, honestly, when I changed time zones, I went into a place one time, a jewelry store. I said, I cannot set that stupid thing. Will you set it for me? And the jeweler laughed, said, yeah, and he turned it and set it. And it's got about 4 or 5 things it'll do. Since it's been running perfect, my 2 encounters with them, both times have stopped my watch. Now, we're not talking about something you've seen on television. We're talking about something that's sane and sensible. Now, let me give you the rest of it. That girl, I led her to the Lord Jesus Christ. I've never seen a person more gloriously saved than she was and is. And the Holy Spirit of God has opened up her mind in a way that I don't think I've ever seen a young convert. Today, I said to her, she came, I spent, I guess, 2 hours when I was leading to the Lord, and I wanted to turn on the tape recorder, and she seemed to shy away, and I thought, maybe leading a person to the Lord is not something you tape. I had a tape recorder sitting there ready. I wanted to tape it, but I just felt best not to. I said to her, after led to the Lord, after it had gone over many, many scriptures. The Lord, I wanted to be like, you know, King Saul when he went down and killed the Amalekites, and he came back and brought King Agag, you know, and he paraded them around. I wanted to be here Sunday and, boy, give a radiant testimony of what had happened to her and everything. But she was desperately ill. She was so sick. I could go into a lot of the reasoning why. The doctor went by and checked her. She couldn't leave her room. She was too sick. He knew it. It was real. And I think the devil's demons coming out of her perhaps caused it. That's why the delay. But then she, during that time, you see the hand of the Lord in it? She read her Bible. She's got a memory that's a retentive memory that's almost uncanny. Now, she has never been in a church, never in her whole 20 years. She was brought up on witchcraft. She's the high priestess. Can I tell you one little thing and not be embarrassing to you? This is on tape. She told me that last Halloween, you know how she says it? All Hallowed Eve. That's the big day for the witchcraft. And in every place the witches meet. Now when you say witch, I know what you're thinking about. Somebody with a wart on their nose and riding a broomstick, you know, and a big old pointed hat. And that's exactly where the devil has deceived us, folk. Exactly. There's a human sacrifice offered. You saw, oh, you talk about Africa, brother. No. Last year, on the altar, this is on tape, her father aborted her pregnancy that he had conceived, and they ate the fetus last year. This Friday, she told me that in every places where they meet, they would offer human sacrifices. Do you know why they have abortions and have the fetus? Because there's no birth certificates. And they can't charge them for, you know, somebody missing. Now, I'm saying it to you. I'm not even asking you to believe it. Doesn't matter to me one iota, because I know what I've experienced. The thing I'm saying is this. In questioning her and talking to her, I ask her, how does Satan take over? She said, the first thing he does is get to the mind. I said, how does he do it? Now notice the reverse of it. He gets the mind, then he gets to the body, then he gets to the soul. The Lord works exactly opposite. The Lord gets the soul, and then the body, and then the mind. But the devil comes in through the mind. And this is why I read you the scripture, and in his right mind. The Lord said, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may know what is that good and perfect will. Now the one thing I found out, I could never cast out the demons until first of all I got her willingness. She had the will to do it. Demons cannot possess boys and girls and men and women until they are willing. They don't have to make some secret pact out in the midnight under a tree somewhere to be demon possessed. I said, what is the greatest tool of the devil? Parents, are you listening to me? I'm talking about this week now. She said, through rock music. She said that when these rock groups make a master tape to make a record out of, they take it to the witches. She says, I've helped do many of them. And they take water, which I'll not describe, that's been done to it, and blood, and they sanctify, is their word. They consecrate it and put the power of the devil on the master tapes. Have you ever heard the word acid rock? Now, folk, I don't know much about rock music other than, I mean, the sight of listening to it, knowing all the people in it. I don't know that. All I know is when God saved me and I hear a rock beat, it does something to me, and I'm not exaggerating. I cannot bear to hear it. You couldn't make my nervous system any worse if you'd beat on my head with a hammer. I've always been that way ever since the day God saved me. I knew there was something wrong, didn't know how to explain it. She explained the acid rock as meaning this. She said, it's like paying a little something extra. You better get whipped cream on top of a sundae, ice cream sundae. She said, when you are under the influence of any drug, and it's strange, she said marijuana was a drug. When you're under the influence of it, listening to rock, that's why they call acid rock, because you can hear things in it that you won't hear, normally speaking. And it will stimulate you in a different way. I have said over and over that rock is not music. Rock is a sexual stimulant. It's exactly what she said. I'm not saying, look at me, I'm smart. I'm just saying you read the Word of God and the Holy Spirit of God will reveal it to you. She told me, you've ever heard of a group called Kiss? I'd heard it and I did thought, well, somebody just made up a cute little thing. Do you know what she said K-I-S-S stands for? Kings in Satan's service. They practice the occult. They practice it. They're involved in it. There are tapes that way. I understand at Carowinds you can take your children out there and pay so much and have their face all fixed up like the Kiss, you know. A satanic controlled group. And folk, here's the reason that the Northside Christian School and Church is taking a stand against rock music, because it's controlled by Satan. You get some of the... We got a stack of records. Brother Mark Logan and I borrowed them and put them before and let them pick them up. Do you know what subliminal means? Have you ever drawn a little box? You know, when your kids and draw another box and lines and you look at it for a minute, this looks, and suddenly it looks like a box. You know what I'm talking about? She showed us things in those covers that I didn't see. She took her finger and traced them out and you'd see them. It's amazing. She said they're after the minds of 8 and 9 year old boys and girls, because then they can control them for at least 10 years. After that, they're burned out. The Lord said, watch your mind. And when they get access to your minds, they control your thinking. Did you really know you are what you think? For the Lord says, a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, the thing that I want you to understand and see, there's many more scriptures that I could read to you, but the thing I want you to understand is what the devil does to counterfeit. He tries to make that which is nearly exactly the same thing. She told, I've got it on tape, she told, we have the Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. She gave the Trinity of Satan. They have a high priestess. They gave me their names, every one of them. You can do that. Read the Bible. I'll read it right here. Listen, verse number 30. Jesus answered and said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were gone out of him. I said to, and Brother Mark Logan was sitting there, again, it's on both audio and videotape. That is, you can see it. And I said to her, you have to take absolute authority in the name and through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I said to her, I'm speaking to you in the name of the Most High God. She had absolutely go completely out, just in... began to writhe. When the doctor looked at her, he said, you cannot fake that. When the when the dark part of your eyes go completely out of sight, he said it can only be done when you're in spasm. You cannot fake it. Her hands would twitch and draw. Her toes would draw. And one of them said, and she pointed her foot towards my heart and said, I won't try to imitate it because I don't want to frighten the children. How would you like to have a heart attack? The names at this point are unimportant. The most powerful one was a demon of lust. In all my life, I've never experienced the power of the devil as I did with that one. I know her name. I made her tell the name. Her name is K-A-L-I. Kaylee. I thought she was saying Katie. And again, it corrected me. But the power of that lust is unbelievable. Now, I'm saying all that to say this. This is the crowd that makes, produces rock and roll music. And if you don't think it's got a place in your child's mind, you try to take it away from them. You try to take it away from them. The only way that you can is for you to have a reasoning, time of prayer, time of fellowship. And that's why we put on this thing that if any student goes to a rock concert, to a disco, or to a lounge, we're going to dismiss them. Because these minds come back in here. Now listen, if a child had some communicable disease and came in here, you would not want him sitting next to your child because, I mean, as much as you love that child, you say, they pass on the measles or the whatever, and you'd expect us to stop it. I don't believe you can experience anything like that. I asked a man one time, was saved here, I said, I want to ask you a question about rock and roll music. Why do they play it so loudly? Have you ever understood that? I hear cars, now I don't think I'm different than you. I hear cars going by my house, and you can hear the music in the car with the windows up going by my house. Why do they play it so loudly? And he looked at me and laughed almost. He said, you don't know, preacher? And I said, no. He said, that's the sexual stimulant. One of the demons said to me, yeah, but you may cast us out, but you can't do away with voodoo. Do you know the prime target of voodoo? I'm going to hold my finger there so you won't forget what I'm talking about, and I won't forget what I'm talking about. I'm going to digress for a moment long enough to 3 or 4 years ago, my wife and I were in Africa. The first night we spent in the jungles, I'll never forget it as long as God gives me a memory. There was no window, there were just screen. And we laid down right against it because, of course, it's creamy hot. You need a little bit of breeze. And all night long, I heard that. You know what she said was the most powerful part of rock music? Was the drum. Now, what do they use in voodoo? I live in an apartment temporarily. Thank God, for long we'll be up there in that parsonage. I cannot hear the words. I cannot hear if there is a melody to it. I can't, but I can hear this through more. I have sat there studying the Word of God, and it distracts me so that I actually have pled the blood. And you can't hear people talking now. I can't even hear television. But I can hear. Let me ask you a question. Don't feel ashamed, because we all know. You can't help but know the Beatles. Who is the most popular one of the four? Somebody tell me. Ringo Starr. What instrument did he play? Yeah, there you are. Now, folk, that's why I wanted to go to the philosophy of it and tell you why. Now, you know this meeting was scheduled before the Lord led this young lady in our lives, don't you? So I'm not just telling you that to scare you. I've experienced it too many times. I could, if I'd wanted, just to have a whole lot of things. If you get our church paper, there's a letter in there from a 14-year-old girl. Started to tell you where she's from, but I won't. 14 years old. I've dealt with her. She's just as pretty and as sweet and as kind, but as rebellious as anybody I've ever seen in my life. And she's in an institution now, and she wrote me a letter. And she said in it, please, it was a letter really to somebody else, and her mother asked her if she gave me a copy, and she did. And she said, please tell them to leave that rock and roll alone, for that's what caused me to be rebellious against the Lord, rebellious in my school, and rebellious against my parents. That's what it is. I'm going to tell you something else she said, and I'm going to tell you something else this girl told me. She said, preacher, there's not much difference between that and country and western. I didn't say that. She did. She said, if you listen to the words, every bit of it is sexual. She told the demon that's in charge of it, the demon of lust. She said, every song, country and western, that you hear mostly, it has to do with somebody leaving somebody's wife or loving somebody's wife. And I heard the title of one not long ago. I am lying here with my wife, but another woman's on, Linda's on my mind, or something of that sort. I'm trying to say, you can't say a whole lot to your kids until you clean up your own records, folk. You can't do it. And it'll get to your mind. Now, you want me to let you know how it's working? Are some of you mad right now? If you're mad right now, the devil's working in your mind and saying, don't listen to him. He's deceived. The devil is a liar from the beginning, and he will deceive and deceive and deceive and deceive. I said to that young girl today, after we'd let her the Lord and everything, I got my wife to go, and we went out for a quick lunch, and I sat there and I said, you know, there's a verse in the Bible. And I remember she'd never been to church, never had a Bible, never held a Bible. She said to me, it's nothing but a book with pages in it. I gave her a Bible, gave her my book on amen and amen. And she read it while she was sick, and I said to her today, I said, you know, every time I look at you, I think of a verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's in you. And she said, creation. I said, how did you know that? She said, I read it. I said, what are you going to do when you go home and meet your parents? She said, I read in the old book, the Old Testament, it's Isaiah 54. She said, I read there, and it says, there is no weapon that is formed against thee that shall prosper. Folk, I'm trying to tell you, they work on your mind, and they get the minds of boys and girls. And the suggestion is to get, she held one record up, and the name of the song is Hypnosis. I believe that's right, or Hypnosis, I believe. And she said, if you listen to the first song, you're hypnotized through the rest of it, and it's imprinted on your mind. And the Lord warns us, it says that Lot vexed his right soul by what he saw and what he heard. The only two ways the devil can get to us is what we see and what we hear. And they're seeing about everything under God's earth today, aren't they? Did you know there's things on television today that I never believed in my life would even be in movies when I was a boy? You're the same way, aren't you? And we think nothing about it. Get control of your mind. Now, I had more to say along those lines, but I want you to take now your white sheet for a moment. You see, we're concerned about your boys and girls having a right mind. We're concerned about them doing well in school. Now, I'm not going to read them all because you can. I'm going to read one or two that may be to you questionable, but I'm going to explain to you simply the philosophy. Look at number three. Now, that's the white sheet. You see the white sheet? Number three, girl skirts and dresses, and et cetera, et cetera. Come on down. Do you see down near the last of it, girls' grades 1 through 5. Now, do you see that place? I wish you'd underline if you have a pencil or something. Girls in grades 1 through 5 will not be permitted to wear hose. Girls in grades 6-8 may wear hose as an optional item. Sundresses may be worn, but only if a blouse is worn underneath. Now, let me explain to you why I'm saying that. I believe, absolutely, definitely believe, and I'll give you an illustration of why, or I shouldn't say why, I'll give you an illustration of what I believe. I remember a great preacher, well, he's still preaching today, he's quite old now. He's a Jewish man, and He was saved when he was very young. Absolutely brilliant. Has a law to earn, a law degree. He's got to, of course, and God called him to preach late in life, and he's given his life, gone all over his country. And I don't think I've ever heard a man with a more compassionate plea. His name is Hyman Appleman. Maybe many of you know about it. And I heard him preaching one time, and I honestly, it made an impression on my mind. I still remember it. He told about how when he was like 18 years old, now 18 years old, he graduated from college. He was working towards his law degree and almost had a nervous breakdown, as we'd call it, for the lack of the proper term. He went to the doctor, and the doctor said, "Mr. Appleman, the thing for you to do is relax. You need to play. Get out and play and have some fun." And he said the tragedy of it was, "I never learned to shoot marbles. I've never been fishing in my life. I never picked up a baseball bat. Never one time caught a football in my whole life." And he said, "I didn't know how to play because my parents had pushed me to excel in school and studies. And I grew up without ever being a child." Then he stopped, tears flooding his face. He said, "Parents, for God's sake, let your children be children. They're going to be adults for a long time." Now you say, "Is that why you're saying it?" No, that's not why I'm saying it. I'm just saying it because it made an impression on me then, and I watched it. I see little girls, and I know they want to be like mothers, and I know they love to dress up and play house, and I don't think there's a thing wrong with that. I used to, when my daddy wasn't there, I'd put on his coat and his big old shoes, and I couldn't hardly walk in them, and I'd play. I don't think anything wrong with that. But, I mean, just to officially do it sometimes. Now, folk, don't push them too fast. Let them be children. You're going to be surprised how quickly they're going to grow up and how quickly they're going to be away from you and how many times you'll wish to God you could have sit down with a little child and talked to them about little children. You know what I think the best thing in the world to do with a child? Just take a little child by the hand like you're taking them through the woods and explain it to them. I was talking to one of my grandchildren tonight, and he was talking to me about when I moved up here in the parsonage. And he said, "Papa, are you really going to get a dog?" I said, "Yes, sir, I got to. I'm going to get one." He said, "What kind?" I said, "Well, you might not understand what this is, but I'm going to get me a junkyard dog. I want him that mean, like an old junkyard dog, you know." And he said, "You think he'll bite me?" I said, "Oh, no, I'm going to teach him to, you know, not to bite people I like. And if I don't like him, he'll bite them." I don't know exactly how you teach a dog that, but I, you know. And he said, "Papa, where are you going to keep him?" I said, "I've already got a place for him." And I told him behind the house there was a little door that opened up and it was good and warm under there and he could sleep. He said, "What you going to name him?" I said, "Oh, I have to have an unusual name for him. I'm going to name him Sassafras." And oh, he talked about that and liked it. And he said, I started to leave and he said, "Papa, are you going to get Sassafras?" I said, "No, not going to get him now. I got to wait till we move in the house and we'll get it all fixed up." He said, "Can I come over there and feed Sassafras sometime?" I said, "Sure, I want you to take care of him and help me." He said, "You suppose Sassafras would like some cake?" And I said, "I bet you he'd love that." I thought then, did you know what that's doing? Taking the little old boy by the hand, just leading him through life. That's what we need to do, folk. Don't let him grow up too quick. That's what I'm pleading with you to do. Don't let him grow up too quick. That's not saying let them be immature. I didn't say that. I said let them be children while they're children. Let them be teens when they're teens. Let them be adults when it's time to be adults. And don't you try to reverse God's order. God has an order, folk. You know, you can't. I don't care who you are or how scientific you are. You take an acorn and put it in the ground and you won't grow an oak as tall as the inside of this place in 2 years. You can't do it. Reminds me of the man that said one time, he went to the college and was enrolling his boy, and he was hyperactive himself, and he went in and he said, "Listen, sir," he said, "I know all the rules and it takes 4 years, but," said, I need my boy. I'm going to put him in my business and I need him." And he said, "Here's what I'll do. Tell you what," he said, "you give him some courses at night and help him a little bit on the side and just eliminate some of the unnecessary ones, and I want you to graduate him in 2 years." And he said, "If you will, I'll give you $50,000 donation to the school." And the college, that was back when they had men who was presidents of these colleges, and he said, Sir, I can grow you a squash in 6 weeks, but if you want an oak tree, it's going to take a little longer. And the man stopped his nervous pacing and he said, I think you're right. He said, you're going to take the 4 years. I'll give you the $50,000 anyway. Now, folk don't grow them too fast. You grow squash when you grow it fast. You ever grown a weeping willow? You can grow them fast, but they don't last long. Let's grow some roots in them. Let's let them dig in that when the storms of life hit them, bless God, they're dug in. I had an experience one time. Here's going on, I'll tell it quickly. I was down in Florida, and there was a hurricane. I never will forget it. And I was in a home, and I looked out, and there was a great big oak tree, great big. And through the years, of course, it had dug in, you know, and here was a hurricane beating against it. And a little bit, I heard a cracking and popping, just noise. It just sounded like a cannon going off. And I looked, and sure enough, that great big oak tree had fallen, and it fell, covered the street, went way up, and knocked down some power lines, and my, the place was half as big as this platform where it uprooted itself. Right over near it was a supple palm tree. And that old palm tree would bend, and when the wind would reach its highest velocity, that thing, and it rubbed its head in the sand, and when the wind would cease to blow, that old palm tree would stand back up. I guess it was a year later, I was down in a meeting. Maybe you've been to Jacksonville, you know, down on St. John's River. I went down there where that house was, knew it well. The oak tree was gone. The old palm tree was still standing there. It had learned to give with life storms. Now that's what we're trying to teach your children. We don't want to grow up too fast. All right, notice, if you will, verse number six. That's pretty good, isn't it? All right, verse number six in the book in the Bible called Northside Christian Academy Supplement to Handbooks. All right, verse number six. Students are requested to observe the following dress regulations for NCAA sporting events for both home and away games. Loose-fitting slacks may be worn. Please, no denim. Now, you say, Brother Hudson, what have you got against denim? I don't have anything personally against denim. I think it's good. Cowboys have lived in it. It's been one of the toughest fabrics. I guess more things have been made out of denim than anything else. Nothing against that. The problem is, one of the things that you sent your children here, you want them to be taught to be men and women, gentlemen and ladies. Don't you like for a child to say, yes, sir, no, no, sir, yes, ma'am, yes, no, ma'am? Don't you like for them to stand up when a lady walks into the room? Is that old-fashioned? I don't know. I still like it, don't you? And I like for people to look decent. You know why? The Scripture says that women, I want you to be modest. Be modest. Be modest. And this is why we've done that. We want to look different than the world schools and so on. And it tells you there the other things, but I want to explain it to you. And then this extreme modish footwear is not appropriate. And notice now down, if you will, down at the bottom again, the heel height of any boot or shoe should not exceed 2.5 inches. Please choose styles that are in good taste for the size and age of... You know what it's saying simply? Don't let these little girls now under these grade levels wear high heels. Can I say this? I know it'll put a smile on your face. Have you ever seen, you have, haven't you, when they first put on high heels? You know, and going up down the steps, I'll tell you, some of them come down the fast way, you know, a heel caught. I never saw a little girl in my life that didn't want to dress up in high heels, and by the time they're 2 years old, they put them on and they pop them around the house. I know that. But the problem is, folk, now will you listen to me? I'm trying to be honest with you. I'm trying to reflect the Word of God to you. If you let them grow up too quick, they'll burn out, and life won't have a real meaning. Keep them. And they can do it, and they can dress and be nice, and there'll be nothing wrong. Now remember, don't let them con you. There's only two words for children, teens. Everybody and nobody. aren't they? Everybody's in that category.
Mother, you wouldn't make me wear that. Nobody would wear that.
Am I right? Right? Yeah? The other side of it is,
Mother, why won't you let me wear it? Everybody's wearing it.
And you know who they'll pick? The one that they've heard you brag on and say, oh. The other side of it is,
Mother, why won't you let me wear it? Everybody's wearing it.
And you know who they'll pick? The one that they've heard you brag on and say, oh, that's such a fine young... If we're talking about girls now. That's such a fine young girl. And they say,
Mama, so-and-so wears them.
Am I right? Yeah, yeah. He said, I know, honey, but you've got plenty of time. Let me tell you something about high heels. Now, my wife wears, don't get off on a tangent. I bet some of you folks leave here tonight and say, ooh, that preacher's weird. I am. I really am. I'm as weird as John 3:16. I'm as weird as John 14. I mean, you know, I'm weird where the Bible's weird and so on, but I was in Rome, Italy, preaching. And I was to preach in one church this morning and another church that evening, and the interpreter for me was a preacher. He could, of course, obviously speak Italian. And so we went to the church, and I preached that morning. He interpreted for me and so on. And that night we started, and we was in a little tiny Fiat. Now, he had quite a large family both ways. I mean, large in number. And, of course, they'd been heavy on the spaghetti, you know. And I was in there. So, now the family who picked me up could speak virtually no English, just one word or two. But it was all right. The pastor had told him in Italian, you pick him up at the hotel, you take him to the church. He told me, I come from the other side, way from the other side. I bring my family. I meet you there. I interpret. Fine. I said, okay. So here we go down through the streets of Rome. We stopped at a red light, and they said, you know, no comprehending. And they said, one of them said, you know, Italians can sing, you know. I mean, all of them can sing. Some of them are the greatest singers in the world. You know that, don't you? Caruso and like that. And so they said, they started singing, and I heard the melody of How Great Thou Art. So I started singing in English. I thought, I've got my chance. So I started singing in English, How Great Thou Art, and they were singing in Italian. And we pulled up to a red light and stopped, and there's that little car. All of us scrouged in there, How Great Thou Art, and every time we'd breathe out, that car would say, shoo, 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 you know. Well, after the service, the pastor said to me, oh, he said, I'm sure you'd like something to eat. I said, yes. I said, I'm going to tell you what I'd like to have. I'd like to have some Italian, real Italian spaghetti. He said, you're going to be disappointed. He said, I was educated in America, and I know. He said, we don't eat spaghetti like you do, like put it all on the bowl and all that. He said, well, it's a vegetable, just like one thing. He said, but I know one place. So we went, no English anywhere. He told them a little bit. They brought out, just like, can you imagine you going and ordering an order of green beans? I mean, just one bowl of green beans. Can you imagine that? Or say some other okra, or chitlins, or whatever. I mean, just one order. Well, to them, that's what it was. Now, the Italians are very kind people, and they came over to the table, and he told them what we wanted. And they looked at me and looked back at him, and he said, no, just, I could figure it out, just spaghetti. No, just, and they said, no, he said, no. Then he said to me, I'll have a glass of wine with mine. Will you? I said, oh, no, sir, I don't consume any alcoholic beverages at all. And he said, would it offend you if I do? He said, they call it vino. He said, we have a little glass of vino with our meal. That's all I drink, just a glass of it. I said, if that's your custom, you go ahead. Because I was in Rome. When in Rome, you better not always do as Romans do. You get in trouble. But I said, go ahead. Then the waiter had moved away, and of course they couldn't understand us anyway. He said, Brother Hudson, you don't drink wine, do you? And I said, no, sir. He said, do the ladies in your church wear high heel shoes? I said, well, yes, they do. I can still see him just as under, because we had a time to wait. He said, do they wear them because they're comfortable? I said, no, I don't imagine they're comfortable. I said, just little straps that I have. He said, I know. I was educated in America. He said, did they do it because, he asked another question to her, forgotten. He said, you really, when you get down to it, they wear them because of vanity, don't they? And you know, they didn't cover that in my ordination. And I didn't know what to say back to him. I've heard people say, oh, I've got to get these shoes on, my feet are killing me. Woo! They'd say, if I'm going walking now, I'm going to get me some low heels on, you know. Here's what I'm trying to say. I'm not justifying drinking wine. I don't drink it. Still don't think he ought to drink it. I'd have liked him a lot better if he hadn't, to be honest with you. But the point I'm trying to say is, don't let him get caught up in that vanity. Good, comfortable low heel shoes is what boys and girls ought to wear to school. That's what I'm saying. Until they reach the right age, and then it's all right. Now, don't go out here thinking I think anything wrong with high heel shoes. I don't. I'm simply talking about little tiny girls who've not yet, they ought to still kind of, in one sense, be taking care of the babies or babysitting or something and not too caught up in that. All right. And then notice, too, now, we're living in an age today where everybody gets their ear punctured, you know, and gets everything fixed up. But we're asking that earrings not to hang below the earlobe. Now, that means, you know, if they've got earrings on, it's fine and good. But don't, you know, not the great big swingy kind. Church or school is not the place for that, is it? And you want to teach them to have a... Say this. You say, Brother Hudson, why do you have rules? I'll only say this briefly. Our society has to have rules, do they not? We call them laws. I'm glad we've got a speed limit 55. Sometimes it annoys me just like it does you, but I'm still glad we got it. I'm glad we have stop signs, and I'm glad we've got a law that makes people stop for the school buses so when your children get off, they get off safely. I'm glad they got laws that protect us in many, many other ways, and as sometimes as corrupt as we may think it is, you ought to thank God that we still have law and order to whatever degree we have it. And I thank God for the peace officers of our land who are honest and who try to do right. We have to have rules. You realize in sporting events, can you imagine a football game without the referees there? Can you imagine it? And he throw it, and the fella says it was a fair catch. Another one over here, he says, no, he stepped out of bounds. Another one over here says it was this and that and the other. They have to make rules. You have to. In baseball, we just finished a World Series. Brother Brooks, I won't say anything else. You know that fella that's standing behind. Did you see that fella the night I saw it? I kind of like that fella. I like to see anybody with action, don't you? He'd stand back there and pull that mask down. I mean, he left no doubt. I like that, didn't you? I hear some of those fellas, see some of those fellas. You don't know. They know, but here I am, an amateur, and I can't figure it out. But he made a decision, and that guy turned around. That guy put his hand behind his back like, I can't even hear you, fella. You might as well shut your mouth. And they threw him out, and he'd say, you got to have rules. You couldn't play baseball. You couldn't play football. You couldn't play basketball. You couldn't play soccer. You couldn't play any game if you didn't have rules. Now, the rules have to be made up in advance. You ever played a game where you change rules when you go along? We used to when I was a boy. Especially we didn't have very many on our team, you know. We'd make up rules. We'd change it, you know. All right, now we'd say if you hit it beyond that pine tree, now that's a home run. Whether you can catch it or not, that's a home run. You know, we'd just change and make up the rules. That's pretty sorry baseball games. I'll tell you the truth, they were. You have to have rules in a school, and this is a rule book. Now, we don't make them up as we go along. We give them to you in advance. You read them over, and you say, sure, I'll go along with that. And we'll see this done. But what I wanted to show you, I wanted you to notice on that second page, if you will, did you see that? I'm going to tell you why we put that in there. You folk have seen pictures of me and you know what it looks like. But I promise you something. If you've got any rats, if you'll just open that and sit it in your kitchen, It will not only keep the rats away, but there will be some that will bring back potatoes they took 2 weeks ago. And that, it'll work. Works every time. Well, in here, a cover, look on page 12. No student. Now that means you're on page 12, where it says A. No student will be retained at Northside Christian Academy who, and for the reasons I've already stated, attends a rock concert, lounge, or disco. Folk, that's not the kind of... Now here's the thing about it. Sometimes they go without parental permission. I know that. I know that. But sometimes they get half-hearted permission. Are they with a crowd? And I think this is where you and I have got to work together. I, meaning the representative of all of us in school. They can't bring firearms to school. I was talking to Brother Cates and I said, more than one day they might bring them and hold everybody up, you know, but one day. No, can't bring them. And you can see the other thing, that any has in his possession or uses any alcoholic beverage. You say, Brother Hudson, I wonder why you had to put that in there for a Christian school. I wish you'd answer it for me. We've had this problem. We've had this problem. And then uses, has in his possession, makes pretense of using, possessing, or encouraging others to use illegal narcotics at any time. I want to explain this to you. You can't get on dope without telling it or talking about it to somebody else or somebody else being aware of it. It's just one of those things you can't conceal. The very nature of it is to encourage others. Do you know who they usually encourage? Those who are younger than, because they haven't yet got started on it. And the way they support it is they buy it for whatever, and then they can sell half of it for as much as they pay for it. They can support their drug habit that way. And so remember why we're doing it. We're doing it to protect your child from getting involved in these things. Now, you can see the other things and read them. I think they're pretty clear. If you've got any questions you'd like to ask, I'm not going to open the floor now. But if you'd like to ask questions after it, see either one of our headmasters, Mr. Sidney Cates, of course, headmaster, junior, senior high, and Mr. Joseph Smith, headmaster of the elementary, Brother Shearer, or myself, and we'd be glad to help you in any way we possibly can. Now, as I sum up, let me sum it up this way again. Now, remember what I've tried to tell you. I brought this girl's name in, not for the sake of telling you about it, but for the sake of warning you of what she had to say and what she warned me of. And when you go home tonight, it might be well to sit down and talk to that boy or girl with the rock music. By the way, she said something else today. She said, I turned the radio, we took her little portable, little tiny portable radio up there, and she said, I was listening. You told me broadcast was on at 11 o'clock every day, and I was trying to find it. And she said, oh, I listened for a minute or two to a station. She said, it's got a cue in it. And she said, it's not only acid rock. She said, it's filled with satanic influences. Now, I'm not sure I know which station it is. But the radio is just as bad, carries exactly the same thing as they have in records. You say, how do you supplement it? Be sure, first of all, your music's right. Talk to them about it. Warn them about it. And remember this. Will you remember it? There was one day a man who took the chance of being misunderstood to warn you how Satan is getting the minds of our young people. She said, that's where, through rock music and through demon possession, is where homosexuality begins, where perversion begins. Told me this today. Through rock music and its satanic influence. Romans 1 tells us that. And wherefore God gave them over to a reprobate mind. Where they did not... I want to tell you, now mothers, I'm closing. Really. You can start putting your high heel shoes on now, ladies. And you men can kind of shuffle yours around if you got your new shoes on. Listen to what it says. Wherefore God gave them over to a reprobate mind, and they did not even like to retain the knowledge of God in their mind. You let a boy or girl really get on hard rock, and they don't want to come to church, and they don't want to come to the young people's meeting, and they'll come home and they'll lie to you and tell you there's nothing to it, and everybody this and that, and the other. They will not retain the knowledge of God in their mind, for God will give them over to a reprobate mind. And a good way to find it out is that boy or girl is critical, last one in, sister, with his arms folded, you know, or her arms folded, and they don't like to go, and they find fault with everybody. It may be that already, but there can be help now. That can be help. I'm not saying they're demon-possessed. I'm not even indicating that. I'm just simply saying the devil can get control of their mind, and the greatest instrument today is through rock music. I warned you. That's all I got to say. All right, let's stand together. Thank you for being here, and thank you for being so kind. And I want you to associate with your teachers. See them. They're here, I'm sure. And with the headmasters. And again, if we can answer any questions, we'll be glad to do it. I want to thank you for being here tonight, and thank you for being a part of Northside Christian Academy. And I wish you'd pray. Now, we're going to start every year a Thanksgiving offering, just a one-time offering. And as a result of it, we'll help try. We don't want to go up on tuition. And we don't want to make any money. That's not our purpose. But we must operate in the black. You can understand that. And so you pray about it. Maybe the Lord would like for you to give this year just a one-time offering. Or get ready for next year. Next Thanksgiving. We'll have a Thanksgiving offering to go for the operating cost of our school because of the rising cost of influence. Thank you so much, Brother Shearer.
Those voter sheets are back there, Pastor.
All right. The voter sheets are back there in C Wing. Now, again, it's not us recommending. It's just the list. These are what these candidates say. They're either for or against. They're available right back there. Our Father, I pray in Jesus' name that you'd grip our hearts. Oh, God, make things real to us. We've been deceived by television and by the world, and we've been deceived by so many rumors that, oh, God, sometimes it's hard to sort out the truth that would just come to you and look into thy word and see the truth. I pray for every parent here. I pray for every child that's in our school. I pray that in Jesus' name that you would have control of their minds. Bless us together. Let something great come out of this, and let them know that these rules are not to hurt them. These rules are to help them. And we'll thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.